You are listening to the Polemics Report, a ministry designed to train the powers of your discernment with constant practice, that you might be skilled in the word of righteousness.
Listen, folks, we are in the modern day downgrade. The church has to wake up and realize that we've become theologically inept. We've got to become Bereans.
The downgrade is upon us. The walls are closing in. What will you do? And how will you stand? Stay tuned as answers are given for how you can withstand the modern-day downgrade. This is your polemicist, J.D. Hall.
Hello, and you're listening to Polemics Report, the weekend edition. You can listen to the full episodes of Polemics Report at polemicsreport.com, sermon audio, or iTunes. Polemics is the field of theological study in which we strive to do what Hebrews 5 tells us to do. To train the powers of our discernment with constant practice, so that we might be skilled in the word of righteousness. And discernment is not just telling the difference between right and wrong, but between right and almost right. There's a very popular book that's coming to the evangelical intelligentsia. Those are the individuals that help lead evangelicalism in America. They're not pastors. No, they're academic leaders and leaders of parachurch organizations. And even though this book may never be the bestseller at Lifeway, it is a book that perhaps in some ways should trouble us. And the name of the book is The Benedict Option. It's very popular among some theological teachers, even those of whom we may respect or feel as though are normally right about most things. Let me explain what I mean. Evangelical Christians have recently had an eye-opening experience. Even before the book, The Benedict Option, a strategy for Christians in a post-Christian nation, had hit the stands, it was already causing a stir. According to David Brooks of the New York Times, it is, quote, the most discussed and most important religious book of the decade. A cover story in Christianity Today described it as a, quote, vision for a Christian church on how to conserve and strengthen the American church. And then others quickly joined the cause. These included Albert Mohler, president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Matt Chandler, the president of Acts 29 Network and pastor of the Village Church, Russell Moore, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, Carl Truman, Westminster Theological Seminary, John Piper, founder and teacher of DesiringGod.org and chancellor of Bethlehem College and Seminary. For some, they were left scratching their heads trying to figure out why the ideas of a 6th century monk who spent 3 years in a dark cave would be presented to evangelicals as an example to follow, particularly when the author of the book, Rod Dreher, makes the statement, quote, the West owes an incalculable debt to Benedictine monks. Now, of course, there are some of us Protestants who are having a hard time understanding that statement, particularly when it comes from someone who is a former Roman Catholic and is today Greek Orthodox. Do we really owe that much to Benedictine monks? Well, he claims that we do, and apparently many in evangelicalism, including those names that I just read to you, well, I guess they agree. On the other hand, for those who have been warning the church about the carelessness of evangelical leaders, this is just one more example exposing the downgrade that's in our midst. Hence, the extent of the problem is now on full display as we witness high-profile leaders throwing their support behind a book predicated upon the false notion that for Christianity to survive a collapsing culture, evangelicals should band together and follow the example of a Roman Catholic saint, Saint Benedict, a man canonized by the Roman Catholic Church in the year 1220, the patron protector of Europe. He was named by Pope Paul in 1964. What does this say about the current condition in evangelicalism when we're taking our cue in regards to what we do about the culture from Roman Catholicism, or in this case, in Dreher's case, Greek Orthodoxy? Now, who we call the evangelical intelligentsia, again, the unofficial leaders of evangelicalism, not pastors, not local church leaders, but those who write for prominent publications, those in religious academia, they were throwing support behind this book before it was even out. Albert Mohler, on his radio program, February 13, 2017, before the book was even available in bookstores for purchase, he devoted an entire radio program to the book. And it was very obvious from the interview that Mohler followed Dreher's work very closely and told his listeners that the book was really important, and he, quote, commended it to every thinking Christian. The problem is, Dreher considers himself a Christian, again, denying penal substitutionary atonement, and his doctrine coming from Catholicism, denying the all-important justification by faith alone. As a matter of fact, Dreher says this in the interview with the president of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. He says that he has been shaped around the liturgy that's been in the church for the last 1,500 years in all kinds of, quote, sensual ways that embody the faith, that he is an Orthodox Christian and is a Catholic. The faith had more traction and drew him in closer and closer, and he didn't know if evangelicals could experience that. He's talking about the, quote, sensual mysticism of those particular religions, which are not and cannot be called biblical Christianity. Now, the substance of the communication in that podcast between Dr. Albert Moeller of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Dr. Rod Dreher was basically how to save Christianity in a culture which is post-Christian. What do we, as Christians, even as evangelical believers, do when we find ourselves in the extreme minority? What Dreher wanted Moeller and the rest of us to do, and apparently Dr. Moeller thinks it's a great idea, essentially is to retreat from culture as the Benedictine monks did after the collapse of the Roman Empire. Now, let me pause here just for a moment and say what my take is. I believe that the evangelical intelligentsia, again, those people trying to lead evangelicalism, are tired of the culture fight. As a matter of fact, Russell Moore has already told us, he, by the way, is the director of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention, that we have lost the culture war. He has declared it, again, lost. People are looking for a way out. They're looking for a way to retreat and to do it piously. No, they're not giving up. They're not ceasing to give a prophetic voice to our culture. They're not willing to go down fighting and in flames for the cause of Jesus Christ. And they're certainly not willing to suffer martyrdom. No, but they're willing to retreat to a monk-like atmosphere, much like Benedictine in his cave. I would, of course, ask the question, do you think that Jesus Christ would have us retreat? Not would he have us be partisan politically, but would he have us retreat, as Dr. Rod Dreher would have us to do? But there's another problem here as well, and that is he's not only promoting a particular worldview when it comes to how Christians should engage with our culture, but he's promoting in the book an actual kind of spirituality. He says, quote, the Benedictine spirituality is a practical spirituality, a way of Christian living that consecrates the routines of everyday life. Now, it's here that Dr. Albert Moeller should have told him that there's no such thing as a Roman Catholic kind of Christian living. That is impossible, because Roman Catholics are not Christians, because they deny salvation by faith alone. As a matter of fact, the Council of Trent specifically says that if you believe in justification by faith alone, in their perspective, you're anathema. That would include people like Dr. Albert Moeller. No such correction was forthcoming. It seems that when we're focused on saving ourselves from a corrupt culture, we're not so interested in saving the gospel itself from being corrupted. Now, while it's very important for us to stop and consider, how should we take what might be forthcoming persecution in this country and handle it, as our country is increasingly more and more pagan and less Christian, how do we handle this in the future? That's a noteworthy question to ask. It shouldn't come at the risk of compromising the gospel. But that's exactly what Dreher's book does, and that's exactly what Albert Moeller and Russell Moore and so many other evangelical leaders are helping him do. He is promoting in the book what he calls Benedictine spirituality, which is nothing but Catholicism and mysticism. This is not biblical Christianity. As a matter of fact, Dreher explains some of his own mystic practices, including using every day a, quote, rosary-like prayer rope to pray the Jesus prayer. Now, the Jesus prayer is a repetitious line said repeatedly that is, quote, contemplative and meditative. In other words, it is essentially meditative prayer. It's similar to the breathing techniques used in yoga or transcendental meditation. And therein lies one of the greatest dangers and deceptions of the practice. Now, this is the Benedictine spirituality to which he refers, which he promotes in the book. As a matter of fact, a practice very similar to what we might call Lectio Divina is practiced by Rod Dreher, according to a 2014 article that was written in the American Conservative. This is not the type of Christianity that one might call biblical. And yet, it's telling that it's not only concerned Christians who've noticed the trajectory of the book is to highlight the historical workings and roots of ancient Catholicism and the Orthodox religion. when even the New York Times writer David Brooks observes that, quote, the heroes of Rod's book are almost all monks, our question should be, why is this being promoted by members of the nation's largest Protestant denomination? And so our own review of the book confirms what others are saying. Jeff Maples writes at Pulpit and Pen, Dreher presents a radical vision for the future of Christian life, and he calls on American Christians to embrace an ancient way of life not modeled by Jesus, not modeled by the apostles, and certainly not modeled by the prophets, who all were stoned and killed and persecuted for speaking prophetically into the culture. According to Rod Dreher, our example is not to be found in the Bible, but in Roman Catholicism and in the Benedictine monks. This is a problem. This is a big problem for those of us concerned with biblical discernment. When evangelicals begin opening doors to canonize saints, they also open other doors. If the Benedictine option is given any more ground than what it's already been given, we can expect more spiritual confusion to follow. And here's my warning to you. Many of you listening to this on your way to church, if it plays on Sunday morning in your area, or perhaps on the AM or FM radio on Saturday, your pastor may very well be promoting this book soon. But not only will he be promoting a worldview of extraction rather than a conquering Christian army going forth into the world to do battle, not only is it retreat, but it's promoting the religion of Rome rather than the religion of biblical Christianity. In the words of the author, the goal is the, quote, rediscovering an old tradition. And that old tradition, again, is not of Scripture and it's not of the church fathers, but it's of, well, the religion of Constantine and those who came after. It should be obvious that there are other disturbing issues in the book besides the spiritual and theological persuasions of the author. Although Albert Mohler acknowledges that differences exist between their two faith perspectives, he also says evangelicals can learn from Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholicism without compromising their theological convictions. However, when I didn't hear Dr. Albert Mohler explain to Rod Dreher that he wasn't a Christian and implore him to repent of his idolatry and believe the gospel, I'm not sure that Dr. Albert Mohler himself isn't compromised. Once again, he's underestimating the power of error and using poor judgment not consistent with Scripture. More importantly, I would ask the question, did Jesus and the apostles encourage learning from the Pharisees or from the Gentiles? Furthermore, this growing willingness to excuse and accommodate biblically unsound teaching to provide a platform for error and falsehood is troubling from our leaders. Moreover, to any believer in Christ who left the Catholic Church precisely because of its teaching, will be stunned to know that certain evangelical leaders now think the teaching of a prominent monk are worthy of their attention, especially when we're so ignorant of the Bible. Perhaps we could wait until we're sure that all of our church people understand the Bible before we go around teaching what apostate Roman Catholics believe. You know, the scripture says in Hebrews 9:27, and inasmuch as is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes the judgment. Understand what Dreher states. He says, I believe the soul survives the death of the body as for ghosts. I believe that in some cases, God allows the spirits of the dead to visit the living. And in other cases, those spirits are unhappily bound to the earth in a kind of purgatorial state from which they need the help of the living to respond to divine grace and be free to move on. Yeah, that's what Dreher says. He says, I've seen haunted houses, including my mom and dad's place, freed of ghosts by Christian prayer. My friend, a local Catholic, he says, told me that a ghost left her house after she told it to depart in the name of Jesus. That was his explanation of purgatory. That's ghosts. I would ask the question, is there not someone who is not a heretic that we could learn what we're supposed to do when our culture becomes increasingly unchristian? Or does the evangelical intelligentsia care about our Christian culture much more than they care about Christianity itself? Ephesians 5:11 warns us to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness. And while we're worried about persecution coming, I would remind you, that can only destroy the body. But what is being pushed by Dr. Albert Mohler, Dr. Russell Moore, through Dr. Rod Dreher, damns the soul. Think about that for a moment. Jeff Maples at Pulpit and Pen reminds us of these words from A.W. Pink. Consider these regarding the current discussion. Pink says, turn away from the lifeless preachers and publishers of the day. may they involve a real cross. Your motives will be misconstrued, your words perverted, and your actions misrepresented. The sharp arrows of false report will be directed against you. You will be called proud and self-righteous because you refuse to fellowship empty professors. You'll be termed censorious and bitter if you condemn in plain speech the subtle delusions of Satan. You will be dubbed narrow-minded and uncharitable because you refuse to join in singing the praises of the great and popular men of the day. More and more, you will be made to painfully realize that the path which leads us to eternal life is narrow and there are few who find it. So may the Lord be pleased to grant unto each of us the hearing ear and obedient heart. Take heed what you read and hear. Thank you for listening to Polemics Report. You can find the full episodes at polemicsreport.com. God bless you, and until next time, as always, Semper Reformanda. And all the walls are crumbling. The shells of me, Lord.